I think about 2 weeks ago, one of my good friends, Chris Shire, invited me to go to a marriage retreat that their church was hosting. And so we kind of went last minute, and that was, we went Friday night, went over Friday night into Saturday. And it was just really neat to, I didn't know hardly anybody in their church except for, I think, two or three couples that I'd known literally from back in the day. Chris Shire, Chris and Lisa, we knew from me and Chris apprenticed together in the late 80s. So that tells you how far back we go. I still had hair and he didn't have no wrinkles. So that's how young we were and we knew each other back then. He had a good friend they introduced me to back then, him and Dave Tobias, Dave and Mary Tobias, who they're as old as us now, got five sons? I think most of them are married, got kids, got grandkids. So it's kind of like we haven't been around them for many years. And so I've got these memories. All my reference points are like maybe at the latest mid-90s. And then here we are, and we're all grandmas and grandpas. And it's like, but the common denominator is God's goodness to us and God's faithfulness to us. Because, I mean, back then we hung around. We were new Christians, and we were all really rough. I was a drunk. One was a coke dealer, one was a coke user. I mean, we got radically saved probably within about 15 months of each other. And so we went from, like, hopeless drug and drunk drugs, druggy drunks and all that nonsense, and got radical for God. So then we just started hanging out and living life together. And we really had this huge friendship all based on God. I mean, just loving God, serving God, and going for God. And so now being able to be around them, now I know Chris, the elder in the church. I don't know if Dave is or not. I'm sure he's one of the leaders there. And just being able to interact with them and worship with them. And we had a great time. And so out of that, you guys, I think most of you know who Chris Shire is. He preached here once or twice. And so we just had a conversation. It's at the conversation stage of maybe doing something together as churches. And because they rent the Gobi Center. I don't even know what a Gobi Center is, but that's where they do church downtown on Sunday. So they rent it from midnight Saturday, you know, Sunday morning to midnight Monday morning. So they have it for 24 hours. Well, they'd like to do something during the week, do some worship during the week, do some stuff. So we just started having a conversation, you know, maybe we can bring their guys here, their people here, and together we can just have a time of worshiping and soaking in the Lord and, you know, just see what happens there. So you guys know what I know. But if it seems like it's something quick happening, it's not really all that quick because it's something that God's been working with me and Chris probably 30-some years, 32, 33 years. So we've done church a few times together. We've done everything else many times together. We still do lunch probably about every other month on average. Sometimes it's 4 or 5 months. Sometimes it's twice in 1 month. But if it seems like something's going on quick, and I'll just try to keep you as informed as I can. But I think we're in a day that we have to be more flexible. I think God wants to move, and I think because of how desperate the world is out there that we just have to get used to finding our feet while we're free-falling, if you know what I mean. As we go into situations that are uncomfortable, it may be different, and that we've never been before, we're just going to have to trust God and realize he's doing something new in this day, and we want to be part of it. Amen? So that's my heart in all this. That's where it springs from. So are you at Nehemiah chapter 10? So I'll just do a little bit of background. 2 weeks ago, last week was Mother's Day, so I didn't talk about Nehemiah. 2 weeks ago, we were in Nehemiah 9, and the whole chapter is basically where they recount God's faithfulness to them as this group of people who had left all the different regions in Israel and had come back to Jerusalem to work with Nehemiah to build this wall. And so they've given up everything. They've put in their lives on pause while they've come to Jerusalem. They built the wall, and now it's time to start building the city. And so they took time. They had church for like a week. They write down all the good things that God's done. They declare how good he's been since all the way back from Abraham, all the way through the generations, to their families, to them. And then they write out this covenant. And basically they're writing down, you know, God, in times past, these are some of the things you expected from us. These are some of the things that you had in your law. And so we're just writing it down that you know that we know that you know that we know what you're expecting from us. And we want you to know that we're willing to do this, that this is something we want to do. So we're going to write it down and we're going to put our seal on this thing. We're going to put their seal would be like us signing our name to it. They sealed this thing because they want to make sure that God and everybody else knows they're serious about this thing. So this is a committed group of people that are believing God for some great things. So I just want to start out there. So then go with me to chapter 10. I got to actually catch up with you guys. I think you guys are there. So chapter 10. Starts out with, like Lois was saying when we were praying before service today, it's kind of like a who's who. And God lists out these names, and he takes like 27 verses to write out these names to make sure that literally for centuries to come, everybody will know who these serious people were. You can go back and you can name them. Most of the names I can't say, so I'm just encourage you, go and read your own Bible. It has those names in your Bible. You can enjoy yourself with that and read it. But it just starts basically, I'll give you some categories. It starts out by talking about the man. Nehemiah is the guy that had the vision and said, we could go do this. I heard God. Let's go do this thing. And everybody rallied to Nehemiah. So it starts out with Nehemiah. Then it goes on to a list of their nobles, a list of the priests, a list of the Levites. And then if you go down to verse 10, so you've got the people with the fancy titles, but then all their brothers and sisters, like the people close to them, believed in this vision too. So they came. It says, and their brethren, and a whole bunch more guys I can't say. And then verses 14 through 27, these are all the leaders. So the first 13 verses, God's gone through and talked about the people of faith. The people that would be the priests, the Levites, Nehemiah, all the people are doing this 100% because of God. And then he starts talking about the leaders. The leaders would have been the political leaders at the time, who probably would have been Israelites, but might not have been so wholeheartedly hog wild as some of the previous people that were listed. And so from verses 14 through 27 are the leaders, the political leaders. And then look at verse 28. If you skip down to verse 28. Says, now the rest of the people. And so there was some people that weren't serving at the time but still had some of these titles. So it says there's priests, there's Levites, there's gatekeepers, there's singers. By the way, the gatekeepers would have been people that kept the force. You know, and as we were talking about them building the wall, I talked about gatekeepers. That we are all gatekeepers. Gatekeepers are people that sit in places of entry and exit, and they decide who gets to come in, who gets to go out. And so for us as Christians, New Testament Bible, devil, you can't come in here. Spirit of confusion, you can't come in. Spirit of strife, you're not allowed in here. Gossip, mm-mm. Slander, nope. Lying, thieving, all that, no, you're not allowed in here. What we allow in here is goodness, kindness, self-control, forgiveness, right? Holiness, righteousness, that's what we speak over each other. That's what we're enforcing. I thought I heard somebody growling. Maybe somebody needs a demon cast out. Hallelujah. Have some good church today, huh? So here's the rest of people. It names them all. It says Levites, gatekeepers, singers, the Nethinim, which are basically helpers in the temple. So after you have your Levites, after you have your priests, then the guys that come underneath them that are probably carrying the firewood for the sacrifices, cleaning out the ashes when stuff needs to be done, that's those guys, the Nethinim, if I'm saying that even close to right. And so it says, the rest of people who had separated themselves from the people of the lands to the law of God. And again, this is really close to who we are now. That's about as close you could describe this group of faith-filled, church-going people to us. We've separated ourselves from the people of the land as far as faith is concerned. Amen? Now, we wouldn't say we do it just for the law. We did it to Jesus. But guess what? Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. You can't be a Christian and not say, I've stopped living and doing these things, and now I'm a Christian, I start doing these other things. If there's no change in your life and you claim to love the Lord and you're still living exactly how you were before you loved the Lord, you're not a Christian. It's impossible. It's like me telling you that I'm an NFL quarterback. I don't actually do it. No one's paying me to do it. I don't even have a uniform. But I'm an NFL quarterback. No, dude, you're just hallucinating. So they've got all these guys. Says these are they had separated their people from the land, from the people of the land, and then they had separate themselves to the law of God. So there's always a coming away from something and going to another thing. And so it says that these were everyone that had knowledge and understanding. And, you know, today we saw an example of that in New Testament terms. Today it wouldn't be so much as head knowledge or as understanding everything as it would be responding spirit to spirit in New Testament times. During worship, I think all of us were touched here today. You could see very clearly some people were so touched, they literally had to physically get up and move. They were touched so much. That's knowledge and understanding as far as I'm concerned. That's amazing. And so these guys, the Bible says that they actually entered into a curse and an oath to walk in God's law. And again, I know nowadays it's really uncomfortable for a lot of born-again Christians to talk about oaths and curses. But if you go back and you read the whole chapter, Deuteronomy 28, God said, this is my blessing. I love you. Here's my blessing. Here's how you can live in a total blessing. All the goodness I have for your life with this contingency. If you will follow my way, then you'll get the blessing. And it's always been like that. There's never been a thing in the Bible, not one single promise, that doesn't have a contingency. Not a single one. You can be saved by grace through faith. You can't get saved by grace without faith. There's a contingency. You can be forgiven in the love of Jesus Christ, washed by his blood. There's a contingency. If you repent and have faith, there's nothing secret about it, and there's nothing dirty about it. God comes to us and says, I've got the greatest deal in the universe if you want to enter in. If you don't, that's fine. You have your free will. You have your life to live. But I'm offering you the greatest deal ever known to mankind. And through my son, I will open up the heavens to you and I'll show you a different way to live. And we can go, oh, yeah, absolutely. There's no line? Well, great. I'll come on up. Right? I mean, that's what we all did. I'd do it again in a second if I'd never done it before. It's the greatest deal ever. And so these guys all, they seen clearly what the Bible says. And so they come up and they say, God, we believe. We're taking an oath that if we live the way you tell us to live, that it's good for us and there's a blessing. They all step forward. They also believe that if I turn my back on you, God, and I go and live according to everything against you, things are going to go south in a big hurry and it's going to look like I'm under a curse. Anybody know anyone that's left the church to go live their own life? They're fed up with the church and so now they're out there living for themselves. Anyone know anyone that did that where it actually improved? Anyone at all? I think that reality proves my point that I'm making. So I'm just going to skip on from there. So they go, hey, we're going to enter into this curse and the oath to walk in God's law. Verses 30 through 39, they write out all this word about this is what they're going to do, this is what they're not going to do. Basically, they reestablish God's covenant stating the law concerning everything. I mean, this is from the biggest of the big all the way to the littlest of the little. They cover everything in these like 9 or 10 verses. They establish God's covenant stating the law concerning everything from not letting their children intermarry with people that don't believe in God all the way to giving the first fruit of their dough when they make bread. From kids down to the first loaf of bread and the big old glob of dough that we're making. They break it all the way down that they're giving themselves, their families, their crops, their flocks, their herds, anything that they make from these and any money they make from these, they're going to give to God's glory. And then they finish it with this. Look at what they finish. We will not neglect the house of our God. You see that, verse 39? All the way at the end of chapter 10. After they list all this stuff up, all that they're going to do and what they're going to do it with and why they're doing, at the end they say, we will not neglect the house of our God. So just a reminder, chapter 8, they finished building the wall. Chapter 9, they celebrated building the wall. Chapter 10 now, they're like, okay, here we are, we're going forward. So the wall's done, now we're going to build the church and the houses around it. Who's in? That's basically what this conversation's all about. So who's in now? Who's going to do this? So I just want to remind you, this is an amazing time in history. These people were a great group of people. They had built the wall all around Jerusalem. You Google the wall of Jerusalem. It's had a few modifications since the time of Nehemiah, but a lot of it's still in place that these people built. after all this time. These people built something great. Oh, by the way, they built this whole wall in 52 days. Don't forget that. While they were getting attacked, while bad people were talking nasty junk about them, while the enemy was trying to discourage them, all the stuff these guys accomplished, this is an amazing group of people. I would say they're all excited, they're all on fire, and everybody's all in. Wouldn't you agree? Until you look at chapter 11. I know I kind of lured you in on that one, didn't I? Because now we're going to go from, it's a temporary assignment, almost like a short-term missions trip. Who wants to go to Zimbabwe for 2 weeks? Oh, me, pick me. Okay, who wants to move to Zimbabwe? Pick him. Pick all of them. That's kind of what's happening here. So these people do it. Now it's time to go, okay, who wants to move into Jerusalem and make a go of it? Up until now, all of them had put their lives on pause. It's on hold. But we're at the place going, hey, you know what? This is awesome. We got the wall done. God bless all of you guys. We all love God. Now I'm going to go home and live in my blessing. Look at verse 11, verse 1 in chapter 11. Now the leaders of the people dwelt at Jerusalem. The rest of the people cast lots to bring 1 out of 10 to dwell in Jerusalem. So they're looking for 10% to come and live in Jerusalem now. That's the number that we're looking for. 1 out of 10. It says, so for 1 out of 10 to dwell in Jerusalem, the holy city, and 9/10 were to dwell in other cities. They could go back home. And the people blessed the men who willingly offered themselves to dwell in Jerusalem. So let's use us as an example. So we got all of us, we've built this wall. Now it's time to build the city, build the church, build the temple, and build the city. And we need at least 10% of us. How many volunteers do we have? I don't know how many volunteers we had, but not 10%. Because if they'd have had 10%, they would not have had to cast lots. So out of this whole committed group of people that were on fire for God, that put their lives on hold at great expense to them and came and did this amazing work of God, less than 1 out of 10 wanted to go further with God. I would say this is a picture of the church, not just our church, the church worldwide. I think this is a picture throughout time. Less than 1 in 10 really want to go for the long haul in God. Want to go as deep as he wants them to go, to spend whatever it's going to take, to do whatever it's going to take, to accomplish the full will of God. They wanted to see God's city established on earth, the holy city established on earth. They wanted to see Jerusalem established. Most of the people couldn't see that. Most of the people could only see a wall that was finished and stuff back at home that needed attention. It's really, really amazing. And so, for me, I think there's a big difference between offering your stuff to God and offering yourself to God. We don't offer ourselves unless we're all in. Let me say it another way. Say I was going to go to Zimbabwe. I'll make it a little easier. Say I'm going to go to Nigeria for 2 weeks, and I ask how many people want to go with me. It's usually a very short list of people that want to go to Nigeria. Nigeria is just rough and dirty and ugly. Everything about it is uncomfortable. I'll just be honest with you. Except people getting saved. Every time you preach the gospel, people get saved in Nigeria. Every single time. Many times when I had the privilege of going with Glenn Middleton, we saw governors give their lives to the Lord, which means that whole region is now Christian in a Muslim nation. And so if you stay focused on that, it's awesome. But if you think about the planes, I got on a plane in Nigeria that was duct tape. Looked out the window, the wings duct tape. Okay, we're not doing, don't look around anymore, Mike. Wait till you land. there's places over there where there's literally, when they put the foundations in for a fake church, they kill people, drain their blood, and mix it with the concrete and dedicate that place to the devil. That's real stuff that happens. We talked to a guy who was governor. They called him king. Governor in a region because he had killed his dad. And that made him king there, and now all these guys served him. What did we have to offer him? He wasn't interested in Jesus. It was a crazy time. Stuff like that. And so if I ask you, do you want to go to Nigeria with me? Most of you might think, probably not. I'll pray about it to make sure. But if I said, well, I'm just, for sure I'm going. I'm excited about going. I just need some financial help. I bet most of you would peel out some money and give it to me right now today. You wouldn't even have to pray about it. You probably just give me some money, then you pray about it, see if you had to give more. That's all I mean. I'm just like it too. By the way, I'm not trying to say I'm all this and you guys aren't. I think the same way. It's much easier for me to give somebody some money than to give my time and my life for that. I think these people were at that place. And I just, in all that I'm preaching today, I just want to ask us, how far will we go? Do we just want to see the wall done? Because for our church and for this community, for our neighborhood, the wall's done. Can I just say that? The wall's done. The building's paid for. I think we're pretty, quote-unquote, solvent. We got a pretty steady number of people here. We got pretty organized services. It's pretty comfy. I think we're okay. If we just want church, we just want the wall, we're all set. Hallelujah. God bless us. If we want more, it's going to cost more. It's going to start costing us real time now. Because this is as good as it'll get with Mike only given as much time as he's been given. This is as good as it's going to get with Mike only given financially what he's been given. If I want more, I'm going to have to go farther. I'm going to have to go deeper. So this group, they were so on fire, they put their lives on hold. They built the wall. They signed the covenant. They put their seals in and everything. But when it came down to it, less than 1 in 10 would go to that next level. Whew. Wow. Just think if I said, God bless you, that's the word for today. Be like, seriously, dude? You can't leave us here. Don't worry, I'm not. This is Old Testament. Let's bring this into the New Testament. I love how it says, now the leaders of the people dwelt at Jerusalem, and the rest of the people cast lots to bring out of 10, 1 out of 10, to Jerusalem, the holy city. And 9/10 were to dwell in other cities. Verse 2. And the people blessed all the men who willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem. I want to look at that part more than I want to look at who didn't do what, who doesn't do what, who didn't do this in the past. I don't care about that. Today is the day of salvation. Amen? We can have as much as we want from God today, based on today and who He is. Not based on who we were last week or last year or the last 10 years. It's not about that. Today is the day of salvation. And so it says, before they even cast a lot, some people said, oh, I'm going. Some people saw the city in its finished state. Some people saw the prize of going and reestablishing the city of God and the temple of God and then seeing what God wanted to do in the midst of that. That's what they were looking at. They weren't looking at the dumb wall. It was never about the wall. I just got to keep telling myself that. They were moved by faith. When others were still in their feelings, these guys saw what God's goal was, and it was to establish the city of Jerusalem, the city of faith. What are you looking for here at Newhall? Are you looking for a nice church service? Are you looking for something else? Because I think God's greatest goals aren't inside this building. I think God's greatest goals are out there still yet. I think we're some of the great goals, but I think we're just a portion. I think all this wood needs to be covered with other goals of God. And for that, we're going to have to go out there and get them and bring them in here. Listen to this. This is what Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 25 say. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. Remember how I've been trying to contrast Old Testament to New Testament? Old Testament, they had to basically make this covenant and say, okay, I'm going to do one or the other. If I try to do everything good and I'm successful, then I'm going to be blessed. But if I blow it and I backslide, or if I just make a lot of dumb mistakes, there's going to be a curse. Oh, this is really horrible. We come in through a new way, boys and girls. Amen? We come in through a new and living way, is what Paul said. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Whew. God, I want to see more, and I want to do more, all based on who you are. All based on what you say about me, not based on how good I think I can be. Because after all these years, I still don't have a ton of faith in me. How about you guys? I got a ton of faith in God, though. God can do all things. What we worship today, I still believe. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. It's through this new and living way that we can love each other and stir each other into love and good works. Here's the verse that everybody uses when someone goes, well, I don't have to go to church to be saved. And so we always hit them with this verse about not forsaking the assembling of yourselves. But it's way bigger than that. It's way bigger than that. Listen to the context of God building us together through this new and living way. Verse 24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. It's through Jesus Christ together that God's building us together. The people that were willing to give themselves before they cast lots, they saw something about what God wanted to do with them together, not individuals. People get stuck on church, going to church or not going to church, usually because somehow they've got it stuck in their head that it's individual thing. It's all about them. It's just about them. It's all about me, I. It's not. It's about us together. It's about us one anothering together. Turn with me, if you got your Bible with you, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. I want to look at some of the stuff that we do together as we're thinking about building the New Jerusalem, as we're thinking about reaching into Newhall and watching God change stuff. Man, something has happened to us. Something has happened to us way more than ever happened to Nehemiah and his gang. Nehemiah and his gang, he had some very faithful people. And then out of that, he had a few that were just extremely crazy on fire faithful. But none of them have what all of us have. None of them. Do you know in Colossians 1:13, this is what the Bible says? God, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. All of us already live in the kingdom of God. We've already been translated. We're not working on it. We're not hoping on it. We're already there. We're new citizens in the kingdom of heaven. Whew. Are you at Ephesians chapter 2? This is an amazing chapter. We're going to start with verse 1. I'm going to read from 1 to 10, and then I'm going to highlight a few things. We'll bring it to a close. Remember the contrast between Old Testament and New Testament. Old Testament, they did the wall. There's still a ton more work to do. Most people are tired. They've done a really good job, but they're tired of working. Less than 1 out of 10 want to work harder. New Testament, because of faith in Christ, we're already there. We're already citizens in a finished city in heaven. That city's already done getting built. We're already citizens there. God's already translated, conveyed us, converted us are some of the words. If you look in different translations, that's how God talks about us. We're already transformed into heaven's citizens. Ephesians 2, verse 1. Especially look for us, we, togetherness. And you, that's plural, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, and whence you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we, that's us, we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others. Now you remember this deal that these guys struck with God? And they said, yep, we're going to do it. And one way or another, it's going to happen. One way we're going to get blessed. One way we're going to get cursed. God says that's already been handled. Back when you used to do all that stuff, back when you was a mess, yeah, you were children of wrath back then, but that's not us anymore. That's not us anymore. He made us alive. There's such a change. I want us to grab this morning, what God says about the change. We're nothing like the Old Testament saints. We're nothing like them. They were dead in their sins. Even Abraham, Moses were dead in their sins. We are alive in Christ. Done. It's already happened. Watch this. Verse 4. But God, but God, who is rich in mercy. Why is he so rich in mercy? Well, it's because of his great love with which he loved us. That's why any of this works. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a great time to get excited about God right now. Talking about his mercy and his great love with which he loves us. Verse 5. Oh, all this mercy and love. Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us. He doesn't say he made Mike. He made us alive together. by the way, that's you and me. He made us alive together. Then he says, with Christ. I think sometimes people miss that and they misread it and they go, oh, they made me alive together with Christ. That's not what he's saying. This whole chapter is about us and we. It's what God does with us together. Together, he worked us together, alive, then he sticks us with Christ. Whew, that's awesome. To know that you're in a healthy church with people that love you and you can read these verses and these promises. Come on, folks. It don't get no better than that. This is us. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. And now he has to say this part. He repeats it in verse 8. By grace, you've been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're raised and seated together in Jesus. What's that for? Verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved. He had to repeat that twice in three verses. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we, that's us, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Wow. So, you read verses like this about us together, how he's already raised us up. We're seated in Christ Jesus together in heavenly places. Why? Oh, so he can show us exceedingly, abundantly, these great things he's already made for us to do. Guess what? The whole neighborhood's going to be out on Saturday. Do they know what we got? Do they know what we can do together? Because on Saturday, at least 20 houses, these people are going to be sitting in their driveways or in their garages. If it's raining, they'll still be in their garages just waiting for someone to come up and talk to them and buy some of their junk. I'm going to bring money to burn. And I'm going to buy some stuff that I'll sit on a shelf somewhere that'll remind me to pray for them, right? It'll probably be $1 or $2, $3, something like that. Might even find something I like. But I will buy reminders, so I'll keep praying for those folks. What about you guys? How about if, let's just stack the deck a little bit. Let's cheat. How about we go out together? Let's go out by twos and threes and talk to these people and see, can't we just introduce them a little bit to God's love? Just tell them, maybe we'll get a chance to go, oh, I see that on your shelf. That reminds me of something in our life. What school did you go to? Oh, how long have you been married? Oh, did you used to live over there? So did I. You'll be amazed at the house you go to and the coincidences, the likenesses that you're going to have with those people. And God's going to give you just an open door that you can just walk through. And you're going to go, you know what? I remember being like that. I remember just being so hopeless back in those days until I met Jesus Christ. Oh, really? Well, what happened? Well, let me tell you. It's literally that simple. I remember those days of being married. The earliers are so tough. Me and my wife, we didn't even know Jesus back then. It was really rough. Oh, really? Well, how'd you turn things around? Well, let me tell you. It started with Jesus Christ, getting a personal relationship with Jesus. Jesus changed my everything. It's as simple as that, folks. That it's so easy. The devil is trying to convince us all right now that somehow that's a religious response. Somehow people don't want to hear it. Somehow we need to just keep this to ourselves and not offend anybody. Guess what? Hell's super offensive. Hell is really offensive. If I've said this before, I still think it's a great illustration. If Mike and Kathy over here live in this house, if that house is on fire right now, and Tammy goes up and says, hey, fire, fire, this house on fire. Do you think we'd all just go, there's fire departments, not my problem, it's not my responsibility. Oh, you can hear somebody screaming. It's still not my problem. There's a couple people screaming. They say there's a kid in there. It's not my problem. That's why they pay taxes. The fire department can get them. Right? If I did that, none of you would be here next Sunday. Right? Facebook would blow up today. horrible pastor, doesn't love people. Well, then how about us with people going to hell? Honestly, I think the worst that anybody would tell you is, you know what? I just don't want to hear any of that church stuff. That's fine. Okay. What? How much are you selling this thing for? It's not that big a deal. Let's throw some bait in the water this week. Let's go fishing. Because I've been praying. I know you guys have been praying too. We put a lot of prayer, a lot of work into this garage sale. I'm excited about it. We are alive together, folks. We're alive together. If we die in a car accident today, boom, right into heaven. Literally, it's just like, boom, that instant. You're in front of Jesus Christ. You're in front of God that instant. Ain't no tears. Ain't no, oh, I got to go make sure my things are in order. You're in heaven. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're alive. And it's not because I'm good or you're good or we prayed enough. The only reason we're alive in Christ is because of his great mercy and his great love. I think that's pretty easy to share with people. The only reason my life changed is because I found God's love. What was that like? Well, let me tell you what it was like. It's like a summer day in the middle of January. It's like ice cold drink of water in the middle of August. Let me try to explain to you the love of God and what it feels like when you get touched by it. And we're alive because of his great mercy, his great love. Because he raised us up together. He seated us together in heaven with Christ. Whew, man. Why did he do this? I want you to see this. This is really amazing, and I'm going to start trying to close, bring this to a close. He did this so that he can show exceeding riches of his grace. Now, I can imagine some stuff, but I think the exceeding riches of his grace are bigger than what I can imagine. It certainly covers some neighbors getting saved. Exceeding great of his grace, yeah, I think that covers somebody getting delivered or healed. Breakthrough, miracle or two, I'm pretty sure that's covered. We're saved by his grace, it's a gift, and we are his workmanship. Here's some other words. I looked up this word. When it says we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, workmanship is this. This is who you guys are. This is who we are together. We're his workmanship, his craftsmanship, his symphony, his masterpiece, and we are his new creation still unfolding. That's who we are. Individually and together. I don't think they know yet what all we are, what God says about us. So let me bring this to a close. It's time for us. We have an opportunity to respond to what God said to us today. So first things first, is there anyone here that's still thinking Old Testament mentality? Is there anyone here that's still thinking, you know what, if I'm good enough, maybe I'll make it to heaven. But if I'm too bad, I'm going to go to hell. If I can manage to break a couple more of these habits and start maybe doing something good once in a while, maybe more consistent at church or more consistent at not drinking, I'll make it to heaven. Ooh. But if I don't stop some of this stuff, I'm going to burn in hell. Is there anyone that still thinks like that here? Because we can change that. We can change your everything by putting your faith in Jesus Christ and the free gift of salvation through faith in Jesus. I love how he repeats it twice. Sometimes my wife has to repeat things to me a couple times. Well, more than a couple times sometimes. But grace is free. And I love how he says, by grace. You're saved by grace because you can't buy grace. You're saved by grace because you can't buy grace. It's so easy to remember. I'm saved by grace because of God's amazing mercy, because of his outlandish love for me. Well, that's easy for me to put faith in. Ding, ding, ding. You just got saved. You're saved by faith through grace. Man, you're saved by grace through faith. And that faith is in his goodness, his love, his mercy, and his grace towards us. Hallelujah. So, we're all set. We're all New Testament. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's take this to a conclusion then. Let's go back to Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 39. God changed most of this sermon last night and this morning for me. I was going to itemize all the different things that they had said that they had pledged to do to God and percentages and how often and basically all the rules and the load they were going to load on themselves. I don't think that does anybody any good at all. You guys don't want to hear how hard I work, and I don't want to hear how hard you work. I want to hear how good Jesus Christ is to you and how much you know of that. Amen? I want you to tell me how much you've been forgiven, how much grace you're using, because there's plenty of grace. Use it up. If you don't need any more for you for forgiveness and mercy, then use that grace up on people around you. Pray for their goodness. Pray for breakthrough in their life. Pray for their salvation. So Nehemiah 10:39 says, "We will not neglect the house of our God." And can we make that decision today? But I'm not talking about coming in on the next work day. You guys did great. You knocked it out of the park again on the work day, by the way. That's not what I'm talking about. This stuff, all the stuff that we did a couple weeks ago on Saturday, I can hire people to do that. You can hire people to do everything I did on that day. That's very replaceable. What can't be replaced is us to each other. The one anothering of each other. That can't be replaced. We can't hire nobody to do it. You cannot pay someone enough money to sincerely love all of us together. None of us got enough money. Not together, we ain't got enough money. But we can make a decision to start one anothering in a big time way. To exhort each other to go for it. To exhort. What are your gifts? I think I know a couple of your gifts. I'm going to start encouraging you in your gifts. You know one of Matt's gifts? He's prophetic. You know, sometimes he doesn't know how to take his prophetic gift and package it in a way that other people can receive it. It's like, well, you use your gift. I'll put my gift with your gift. And together, we'll see what we saw today. What, a third, half of the church got so moved by God, by his prophetic word, that they came up, responded to the Spirit? One another, together, us, we are seated in heavenly places. We have been saved by mercy. We have the gospel to share. Together, let's do this one anothering. Amen? Let's commit. We're not going to neglect the house of God. I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to help you get the most out of God that you can. So simple as that. That's my commitment to us. To do this, though, we have to be like the less than 10%ers. Maybe it was only 1%. 1% is a term everybody likes to throw around. It's easy to remember. Somehow we're going to have to be the 1%ers then, just like these guys were. So before they cast lots to see who had to live there was 1% that wanted to live there because they saw something greater, something bigger than the hard work, than the mess. They say, you know what? This is going to cost me. This is going to cost me everything. I want to do it. Count me in. But you haven't heard everything. I don't care. Count me in because I got an idea what God wants to do here. Count me in. They willingly offered themselves. So today, I'm just going to ask for two responses. We're closing with this. I really, really am closing with this. Two responses. First off, all the people who want to see, there's going to be willing people, and there's going to be people that bless the willing people. So how many people here want to see the willing people blessed? Just go raise your head. You want to see people get blessed. Raise your hand. Awesome. Man, that's all of us. All of us want to see the willing people blessed. All right, hands down. Everybody that wants to be blessed, wants to be the willing part and want to be blessed, go ahead and stand up. Come on. And you know what? I know that sometimes it's hard for some people to stand, especially by the end of the service. So if you're uncomfortable, okay. Right now, I'm going to pray a blessing. And everybody that's willing here right now, would you just mix your faith with mine? Let's ask for God's blessing on people that are willing in this place right now. Amen? Heavenly Father, right now, I lift up every single willing person in this place. Father, I step away from that pulpit because I'm just Mike the Christian right now. And I join with my brothers and sisters, one anothering. We are together in this. We are willing, Father. We declare as we're standing before you, we're willing to be the 1% in this neighborhood. We're willing to give our all. We're willing to give what it takes. And Father, we want to see Newhall changed into a new Jerusalem, a new Testament church city in this place. Would you please do this now, Father? Lord, we especially are asking for wisdom and discernment and boldness for this Saturday, between now and Saturday, as we go out and deliver signs, as we go out and deliver information, and Saturday as we go out and talk to people and buy things, Lord, would you help us to talk about the truth, and that's your mercy and your amazing love for us that changed our everything, that we are saved by grace through faith in your great love for us. Lord, I bless your flock now into the fullness of your plan for them. I declare we are your workmanship. We are your craftsmanship. We do make a symphony together. It is us that's a new creation together in Christ Jesus that's going to accomplish your will in this neighborhood. I proclaim this and I declare it. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. 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 Well, God bless you. I know there's a couple things going on after service. If you need a sign for your street, if you're a street sponsor, make sure you check with Dennis so you can get your sign to hand out. And then if you're part of Children's Church, there's a short meeting that's right in the fellowship room with Diane. God bless you and have a great week.